Okay, we're continuing now. We're in sugya number 22, Daf Tes Amud Aleph. We're moving into Shtar, the document. We started this sugya last week. We'll review where we're up to at this point. There's a brisa that says a Shtar Kiddushin may be written on paper or pottery even if it is not worth a pruta. The document does not have to be worth a pruta. And what does the person write on that? If, let's say, he wants to marry a girl and he needs permission from the father, he writes, your daughter is mekudeshes, or mureses, or like a wife, either one of those expressions, to me. That's what he writes in the document and hands it to the father. Certainly, he can hand it to the woman if she's an adult and give it to her with that expression.
Or to the girl with the permission of the father.
Or, no, if the father's taking care of her, that's one thing, and the father's not, then either she's an adult or she's not. So it's either going to her or to him. Now, the question that Rav Zera Bar Mamel asked was, this is not like the regular type of documents on a regular bill of sale. In a regular bill of sale, the seller writes the document and gives it to the buyer. And he writes on the document, my field is sold to you. Okay, so normally the seller is the one who produces the document, he writes the document, he hands over the document to the buyer. Over here, by marriage, as it were, who is the buyer? Here the buyer is the husband, and the seller is the woman, as it were. Here the husband writes the document, so we see it's the opposite of normal document writing. That was the question. And what is the reason for that? The Gemara wants to know, which the Gemara answers. This is answer number one of Rava that we said last week. It's because they're both learned from verses. How does the Torah write about it? That's how the halacha comes down. It says by sales, when you're buying and selling property, it says he will sell from his inheritance. So we're talking about the seller. The focus is on the seller. If the focus is on the seller, then he's the one who buys the document, since the focus is on the seller. The Torah attributes the sale to the seller. However, by Kiddushin, it says, when a man will take a woman. So there we have the buyer, as it were, is the focal point, and therefore the kinyan is attributed to him. In other words, who do we attribute this kinyan, this legal transaction? When it's property, we say, we attribute the transaction to the seller of the properties. Therefore, he will write the document. By wedding, the kinyan, the transaction, is attributed to the man, who is the buyer, and therefore he writes the document. So really, the person who writes the document is the person who the acquisition is attributed to. So since by regular sales the transaction is attributed to the seller, so that's the one who writes the document. By wedding, the kinyan is attributed to the husband, so he writes the document. That's where we ended off last week. The Gemara is going to ask a question that seems to suggest, although you may have one source that says this by selling property, there's another source that tends to suggest the opposite. So therefore, it's not clear, you know, we're saying, well, how does the Torah attribute it? It's not so clear how the Torah attributes buying and selling over here. So let's take a look at the answer, the question that they're going to ask. Let's hope we got it here. Okay, we are on Tes Amud Aleph towards the bottom. The third is going to be the fourth wide line. So Gemara challenges Rava's answer and says, by purchases, it's not necessarily only attributed to the seller. Hasam Nami Ksiv, over there, if we look in the story in Yirmiyahu, it writes the following. And we should get this source because it's going to be interesting. Yirmiyahu is buying a field over here. 32, oops, 32, 44. Just give me one second. Shem sends Yirmiyahu to buy a piece of land. Let's put in a little English over here too. Okay. Here, let's. I know. Just. All right. Let's start over here. Starts on 42. For thus says the Lord, just as I have brought all this great evil upon this people, so will I bring upon them all the good that I have promised them, and fields shall be bought in this land, about which you say it is desolate without man or beast, it is given to the hand of the Chaldeans. Men, here now, sodos bakesef yiknu, men shall buy fields for money, and sign deeds, and seal them, and take witness in the land of Benjamin, and the place around Jerusalem, and the cities of Yehuda, and in the cities of mountains, and the cities of valley, and the cities of Negev, for I will cause a confusion. And that's exactly what's happening now. The prophecy's coming true. And what was desolate, people will buy it. But look at the beginning clause of 44. Sodos bakesef yiknu. Men shall buy fields for money and sign deeds. So who is the transaction being focused on?
Buyers.
And they're signing the deeds.
Yeah.
Right. Let's hold on to it.
But signing and writing are much different things.
It's the same thing. No, it's the same thing. So Hasam Namik Siv over there, let's look by land purchases, of property purchases. It says, Sados Bakesef Yiknu. Right? They shall buy fields with money. So over there, the emphasis is on the buyer. So here's the thing. You have two different sources that are using two different perspectives. We brought a clause before, last week, from the seller's perspective. Now we have it from the buyer's perspective. So how can you say that a person has to write a document can be deduced from the language of Scripture when the Torah's language isn't even clear? Your whole answer was, well, let's look at whose perspective it's from. For land sales, it's from the seller. From marriage, it's from the husband, the buyer. But look, by land sales, it's not even clear by land sales. So don't give me this answer that Scripture indicates who to focus on. If anything, the Torah is confused about it. It's not clear, not giving us a clear direction. So how could this be the answer? So you have now the next answer is going to depend on your understanding of a concept called kri uksiv. How something's written and how something is read. Okay? So the way we presented it was sados bakesef yiknu. Fields with money shall buy. They shall buy. People shall buy. Well, we could change some dots around and we will see that it could be maybe a little bit different. He says, although the letters are written one way, Kari Bay, but pronounce it. The letters Yud Kuf Nun Vav, although they can be read as normally Yiknu, pronounce it as Yaknu. Yaknu is a different verb form. Yaknu means sell, not buy. So the same letters, but the dots change. The way we normally would see the word, the way it's written, it would seem to say yiknu. If you see the letters yud, kuf, nun, vav, you would instinctively say it's yiknu, which means they are buying. But you could read it yaknu, which means sell. Which means causing somebody else to buy, which means sell.
Yeah.
Okay?
You're not just changing the tense, you're changing the actual
verb? Yeah. Well, the verb, the root of the verb is to, buy or sell. A kinyan. Really, the root is kinyan. Yaknu is from, kinyan, which means a transaction has happened. A transaction has happened. So usually when a transaction happens, somebody sells. Right? But, and generally we'll assume, that, or somebody buys.
Yeah.
So generally, kana usually means buys, but it can mean somebody caused somebody to buy. There's seven different ways to conjugate a verb. Seven ways, not in English, but in Hebrew, seven ways. You can take that root, kana means to buy. But we can conjugate it, caused someone to buy. Now then, what does that mean? If I caused someone to buy, what does that mean? I sold. So the root kana means to buy. No question about it. So you want to say, oh, it says yiknu, they buy. But the word yaknu means cause someone to buy, which means sell. So you follow? So now there's no conflict. It's always dependent on the seller. It's always dependent on the seller. So we have consistency. Because we looked at it as yiknu. Means he will buy. We think it's the buyer who's focused. But now we say no, to keep it consistent with the other text in the Chumash, we'll read it as yaknu, causing someone to buy, which means to sell. So now it's consistent and the original answer holds.
So two questions. One is the root of the word is really is to buy. That's the main meaning.
But
yaknu is like
cause someone to buy.
That's one of the seven.
But if that's the way it's to be read, then that's what it means.
So the next question is, I don't know if that's a haftorah or not, but if it was.
It's a haftorah.
How would it be read? Yaknu?
He's saying it should be read yaknu.
How is it read?
I'd have to look it up. I have to look inside. Doesn't matter. The Gemara is suggesting, doesn't mean it is. Gemara says it's a kriuksiv. It's a kriuksiv. It's written one way and pronounced another way. That's not unusual at all. We have many of that in the Torah. So the Gemara is suggesting, because of the question, it's going to be read one way, it's going to be written one way, but read another way, which is not unusual at all. So that's how you get out of the question. So if that's a fact, it's consistent now. In both sources of the Torah, it depends on the seller, all right, for land. But marriage, it's the husband. So that's how the Gemara gets out of that question. Gemara says, well, hold on there. Now, let's see. Let's just see. Note 15, just to review what I said. Change the vocalization of the word by reading it with a patach rather than a chirik. In doing so, the word is changed to the hifil conjugation. Right? I told you, hifil. Hifil is one of the seven, causing something to someone else. And its meaning is reversed from buy to sell. Okay, that's what it is. There's seven ways to conjugate it. Either that the person is doing it, it's done to him, he's doing it strongly, someone else is doing it strongly to him, someone is causing it to himself. There's seven different ways we could use a verb. I don't think we ever do that on that Sunday class. Years ago, Shelley, remember we had that class on Sunday? I don't know if we... I think we did do that. Anyway, so now the Gemara says, well, okay, that's your answer, eh? Well, wait a minute. I'm not so happy with that answer. Gemara says, listen, why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? My taima karisa bei yaknu. What's the reason that you felt pressed to change the way it's read to say yaknu? Because wait, to match it up the way it said it in the Torah, to focus it from the seller's perspective. Mishum dechsiv. Umachar, because in the verse said earlier, it says, and he sell, which emphasizes the seller's perspective. Okay, that's what you did. I understand. You said, well, we already have one that talks about the seller's perspective, so let's make it compatible, and we'll change the simple reading of yikhu to yakhu to keep it consistent with the other text that says it's from the seller's perspective. Mara says, okay, that's really nice. I hear what you're saying. I'll accept that. But now let's take it one step further. But you're still not, so now we've forced ourselves to change the simple reading of yiknu to yaknu to make it conform with the buyer, with the seller's perspective. But what did you say? But by weddings, by marriage, you say, well, by marriage, it says different. It says, ish ki yikach, a man takes. Uh-huh. So what are you telling me now? You want me to accept the following. When it comes to land, the Torah always needs to say it's from the seller's perspective. And even though there's one verse that would seem to say it's from the buyer's perspective, but to keep it consistent, we read it in a way that keeps it consistent with the seller's perspective. But you're very happy to say, but by marriage, it says a man ki yikach is from the buyer's perspective, because you say that's what the Torah says. Well, listen, my friend, just like we changed the word yiknu to yaknu, Can't we change the word? What's the word by the Torah? By a man? Ishki yikach. Let's change that word to not say he will take, he will cause to be taken, and change the whole reading by marriage as well to keep it all consistent with buying and selling land. Hachinami. So let's do the same thing. Karibe. Let's read it ki yakach, not yikach. If you're already changing, so change consistently throughout. Right? Say, ki yakach. Not yikach means a man he will take. Yakach, he will be caused to take. By altering the vocalization of yikach, the word is changed to mean give rather than take. As such, the verse would read as follows. When a man shall give a woman, meaning causing a man to take, she'll give a woman, a daughter, to a husband for a wife. You see? So if you're telling me, see the steps. We're going to say, well, it depends how the Torah oriented the transaction. By business, it oriented from the seller. By marriage, from the buyer. But I said, wait a minute. By business, we see there's a second one that orients it from the other way. No, we'll change that one to make it conform with the seller's perspective. Okay, but marriage goes with the buyer's perspective. Well, I can just as easily change that one by marriage and make it from the seller's perspective. Well, let's keep it all consistent. You're deciding which one to change the reading and which one not. That's not consistent. Therefore, the Gemara rejects this entire answer from the beginning. You want to say it depends on Torah's orientation? We could play around that all day long, and that ain't going to help us nothing. So therefore, Gemara rejects that answer so far. And I have to say why. So then I'll tell you why, because there's another verse that suggests that Ataka is from the daughter's perspective when a father marries off a daughter. Dirsiv, because let's look at another case. When a father marries off a daughter, it says, Esbiti nasati la isha zeh. I gave my daughter for this man. It's a case of guys Motzi Shemra on her, says she wasn't a virgin. Torah says, I gave my daughter. Well, we're focusing it from the giver's perspective now. So therefore, when we say ki yikach, should conform with that and say ki yakach. Because you have to conform it by a woman. So therefore, the Gemara at this point says, well listen, we've got two texts by each, by selling land and by giving away a woman. Two texts seem to give different focal points. You're going to want to change them to make them fit. Well, as it fit entirely through, it should then come out that the woman should be writing the bill of marriage, because the seller, it's from the seller's perspective. So therefore, that was the question on Rava. Since Rava is confounded with that question, Rava has to recant on that a bit and says the following, and when you say this, nobody can argue on this. Ella, Omar Rava. Ella, whenever it's but. Whenever you have the word Ella, but, he's saying, I totally reverse. That's always a cue. Whenever it says Ella, it's not just an answer with a slight modification, but Ella means total reversal. It's not that it's verse-driven, the answer. Originally, the answer is verse-driven. The Torah says, by land, it's focused on the seller. By marriage, it's focused on the buyer. What can we do? And that's the way the rabbis have to follow. He said, no, I'm wrong. The reason why it's done this way has nothing to do with text. Hilchas Aninu, it's a halacha l'Moshe Misinai. God gave them at Sinai. Forget it. It's not driven by a text at all. Done. However, sometimes when you have a law like that, we try to find a hint in the Torah. Not a lock solid proof, but a hint in the Torah. So the rabbis want to see, well, where, you know, everything's got to be hinted to in the Torah, although it's not a direct proof. So they're looking to find out if it's a hint to see such an idea. So those first two verses we wrote in the beginning were hints to it, but it's not a lock solid proof, as the questions on Rava showed it. And the rabbis merely supported these laws with allusions from the above verses. But it's not the source, and, you know, not that you can't ask questions, just a little symbolic showing of this. Okay? According to the Ram, the fact that the seller writes a bill of sale while the husband writes a document of Kiddushin is known to be true through tradition. I mean, that's the way Moshe gave it. I don't care what you think. That's what God told me. This is what we're going to do. I'm finished. Forget about logic. Right? And it's not actually derived from any of the above mentioned verses. It's not a verse-driven halacha. It's a Sinai-driven halacha. But by using the plural forms ninhu, they are, va'asmechina, and supported them, more appears to indicate that both rules, that the seller must write the bill of sale, and the husband-to-be writes the kiddushin document, were orally transmitted to Moses. They, both laws of buying and selling property and getting a woman was given to God, to Moses, from God to Moses. Vasmechina, the rabbis found support for both laws from texts. Okay? That's the way the Ran learns it. Tosas learns a little bit different. Tosas says that only the law of the bill of sale was transmitted in such a matter, while the fact the husband writes the document of Kedushin is derived from the text. Alright, I'm not gonna bother with that. But that's the answer. There, you can't ask me any questions. It's a love of the Moshe Nisina. Finished. And the fact that we're a verse was just a hint, a support, but not a lock solid proof. That is answer number one. If you want, we can give you another answer, says the Gemara. So based on that, the halacha remains that the man writes the document in marriage. Why? It's halacha l'moshe Sinai. There's a hint to it when it says ish ki yikach. That's the hint, but it's not a lock solid proof, because you see, when a man marries off his daughter, he's the one who's selling it. So that's just a hint. Answer number one. Answer number two. Ve'i bois eimun. If you want, I can give an alternative answer as follows. Ema hasamnamiksiv. There, regarding the sale of a field, it says a little bit more by a sale of a field, and that's why by a sale of a field, we say it's from the seller's perspective and not the buyer's. Without having to switch around that yikach, yakach, with all that business, but just go, there's a much more direct source that's much more specific in what it is saying. And what is that? It says, va'ekach. As Sefer HaMakneh. Here's a real, actual case. Jeremiah 32:11. Let's go there for a minute. Wrong one. Let's try again. This is the case where Yirmiyahu was told, Hashem tells him to buy a piece of property. Let's back it up a little. Okay, let's look at verse 6. And Jeremiah said, the word of the Lord came to me saying, behold, Hanamael, that's a person, the son of Shalum, your uncle, shall come to you saying, buy my field that is in Atonot, for the right of redemption is yours to buy. So his uncle will say, I want you to buy my field. So Hanamael, my uncle's son, came to me in the court of the prison, according to the word of the Lord. He said to me, buy my field, I beg you, that it is in Atonot, which is in the country of Binyamin, for the right of inheritance is yours, and redemption is yours. Buy it for yourself. Then I knew that it was the word of the Lord. In other words, Hashem told him, your uncle's going to tell you to buy it. And Taka, the next day, the uncle went and came. So it was a good prophecy. Okay, so now what did I do? Now, Yirmiyahu's talking. So what did I know? Who's the buyer? Who's the seller here?
Yirmiyahu is the buyer.
Well, we'll see. Now wait. But the uncle is saying, right? Now, where am I now? Okay. And I bought the field of Hanamel, my uncle's son, that was an Asanos, and weighed him the money 17 shekels of silver, and I signed the deed and sealed it and took witnesses and weighed the money on scales. So I took the deed of the purchase, both the one which was sealed, contained the terms of the conditions, and the one which was open. And I gave the deed of the purchase to Baruch, the son of Neriah, the son of Maaseiah, in the presence of Hanan, my uncle's son, in the presence of the witness who signed it before all the men of Judah, who sat in the court of the prison. Okay, now, let's see what this is all leading us up to here. Okay, now let's look over here. The verse which describes Jeremiah's purchase of a field with a bill of sale explicitly refers to Yirmiyahu taking the document. But look what it says. Taking the document from Hanamel, the seller. It says, I took the document. Where did he take it from? He took it from Hanamel, the seller. Hence, although the activity of the buyer is in general in a general way emphasized in the verses, they shall buy fields with money. Remember we said before, it seems to say it's from the buyer's perspective, even though it says that, but when it came to, but who had the document, who gave the document, it was the seller who gave the document. Without that source, we hear, oh, the buyer's the transaction, he probably wrote the document too. But here you have a case where the actual document per se came from the seller. That's the point. He says, I took the document from my uncle.
Yeah.
Therefore, it's no longer possible to argue the buyer must write the document. For this is clearly precluded by the fact that Jeremiah, buyer, received the bill of sale. We thus conclude that a bill of sale is drafted by the seller and is received by the buyer. And the text of the document states, my field is sold to you.
Yeah.
You see that? Let's look at that one more time. Even though he was involved in buying, no questions involved in buying, but it says, and I took the deed of the purchase. Both the one was sealed. So that's the, but he took it from who? He took the deed of purchase. Who'd you take it from? Yirmiyahu, who'd you take it from? From the seller. The seller made a deed of purchase. If I took it. So therefore, the original question was, how can you assume it depends on the seller? We had a verse about a buyer.
That's right.
Yeah, but that verse just says people buy. But the actual, when it comes to business, it tells you that it's the deed of the seller. So that comes out, the original question falls off, and now we can remain with that first answer that we have two texts that say there's a difference. The problem with saying there are two texts and there are differences by land, they seem to be conflicting texts that we had to match up. Now it's not conflicting texts. We could say that's a perspective of the buy, of the seller, but the real text actually says that you get the document from the seller. That's it. Item issue closed. Yirmiyahu took the bill of sale from the one who sold it from him. Finished. It's clear text. From that. And therefore there's no question. So we now have two ways to resolve the issue and to see what the source is. Okay, now just a little cleanup over here. Two more little lines and then we're done over here. Vit Amar Rav Nachman. Rava said the name of Rav Nachman. He says some laws in relation to Kiddush document. Pretty similar to what we had, just a few changes. Kus of Lo Al Hanior, the man. The husband writes it on either a piece of paper, or al acheres, or on a piece of earthenware. It's same as the brisa. Afal pisha ein bo shava pruta, even though it's not worth a penny. Similar to the brisa. Here's going to be the adding on part. He could say to the father, bivcha mekudesh esli, your daughter is married to me. Or another expression, bivcha meures esli, again another expression of betrothal. Or bivcha li leinto. Right? She's my wife. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the point he's adding. So far, it's exactly the Bryson. Rabbi adds just this little point now. Bain al yedei aviha. This can be whether the document's accepted by the father. Bain al yedei aviha. Whether she accepts it. That's what he adds here. When you're marrying, it still works out. Mekudeshes. It is still a good marriage. And he adds the words, midalto, with the consent of her father. So he's adding like this, if you want to marry off, get married to this girl, you write the document and you can give it to either the father or the daughter, but if you give it to the daughter, she's a little girl, it has to be with the consent of the father. That's the part that Rava adds to the Brisa. That's when you said, I said, not so fast. As I said, not so fast. So now that's the added. So the man writes the document, he gives it to the father, or he gives it to the daughter, he gives it to the daughter, that's with the father's consent. And then he has one more clause, but that's only the case where you need the father's consent when she takes it. Vushal Bagra, if she has not become of age yet, she's not 12 and a half, because once she's 12 and a half, she is her own person now, and there's nothing to talk about. So when she's under, not a Bogaris, that's when that law applies. Now he adds one more. It's all very simple. It just finishes up. Yeah. Cause of law. What if he does the following? He writes on a piece of paper or on a piece of earthenware. Apa pisha ein bo shava proof, even though it's not worth a penny. Again, hare at mikudeshesli, you are married to me. Hare at li leinto, you are my wife. Hare at muresesli, this is directly to the girl now, not to the father. Mikudeshes, it's a good marriage. Bein al yedei avia, bein al yasla. It doesn't matter whether it's accepted by the father or herself. Well, what's the father have to do with this? She's a what's going on over here? He's saying it to her now. Not the first one was, I want to marry your daughter. This one's saying, I'm marrying you. So she's got to be, so what's going on? It has to add the word, midata. Now it has to be with her consent that she's allowing the father to be her agent to take it for her. Right? On her behalf. Provided, when does that happen? Behushabagra, that's when she's over the age. So this is the 2 points he's saying. When a girl is underage, what do you write? When she's underage, he has to write, I want to marry your daughter.
Yes.
And then he can give it to him or the daughter, but with the daughter, with the father's permission. Or he could write to a girl, I want to marry you. And then he could still, he could obviously give it to her, or he could give it to the father with the daughter's
permission.
That's the only thing. So when we're writing documents, it's going to be one of two ways. Either for a girl underage or for a girl overage. If she's underage, he writes in the document, I'm marrying your daughter. Then he can give it right to the father or give it to the daughter with the father's agreement. If the girl is overage, Bulgaris, he can't write that. He has to write, I'm marrying you, because there's no father that really is accepting it for her. But he could still give it to the father as an agent, not as the father, as an agent, but it has to be with her permission, just like any agency has to be with her permission.
Well, it'll be her reason for giving it to the father. Once she's Bulgaris, she can accept it herself.
She has trouble holding on to things.
Oh, okay.
She respects her father's opinion.
Okay.
You know, Dad, you deal with all the legal stuff. I'm okay with the marriage. You know, listen, the father is worried about his daughter, who's 13, 12 and a half. I want to make sure you get a good chassa. I'm going to handle with this guy. Okay, you be my shliach. You take care of everything. I trust you. You know better than me who I should marry. And fine. But he can't just, it can't be the father affecting the marriage. It's the girl has to receive
it. He cannot refuse or say anything. That's it.
But she has to give permission. When she's already over 12 and a half, the father can only do this if she gives her permission to the father.
Right.
When she's underage, father needs no permission.
That's right.
For her to take underage, she needs the father's. Can you imagine a guy goes to a 9-year-old girl and says, get married? Yeah, why not? It's a good idea. You have to have your father's permission. That's the two sides of the coin. Okay.
Question.
Right at the bottom.
I never bought the-